2:25. Okay. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, that we have been redeemed out of this world, out of the power of sin and death, and we've entered in, according to your promise, according to your power, into eternal life, into a new life, born of the Spirit, where we walk with you and we know you and we interact with you, and we begin our eternity every day in this world, and every day moving forward, whether there's a world here or not. We thank you, dear God, that we have lived and have such blessed lives. Help us to be thankful in all things. Help us to rejoice, Lord, O God, in the hope you've given us in Christ. Just bless your word here this morning to each of us, dear God, that we might be refreshed and renewed and inspired in our spirits to walk by the Spirit's leading into the world that we all face in our own individual ways. Father, we just thank you for this time, and we look to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to turn this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Look, some very, I'll call them very familiar verses. But just in part, I had a refreshing moment here in this building last Thursday. I'd stopped by, running some other errands, and I stopped by here, and as I do when I come here, and it's quiet, and I just kind of look the room over, and it's think of all the things that have taken place, and what this room, this one single room, means to me, and I think means to all of us. But we are here to worship our God. We are here above any other reason. We are not here to fund a building. We are not here to exalt some earthly or other ministry. We are not here to do a lot of things. We are here to come before the Lord and worship our God. And worship that truth that is given to us in Scripture. That has always been the emphasis. I pray, it's always been my intent, that the emphasis in this meeting is always focused on growing in our understanding of who we are and what God has called us to. It's not a message that many can sit long under, unless their hearts are, again, linked to that same intent. We are not here to entertain or to appeal to the flesh. I can say I personally come here to worship my God. I come to this room. Not only this room, but we gather together to worship our God together, to encourage one another in a world, you know, this is a pretty small little piece of real estate compared to how big the world is. But like a few other spots on earth, it's one of the most important spots on earth to me. There are those important places, those important things that we each put above other things. Here in Luke chapter 10, I'd like to read verses 38 through 42, the account of Mary and Martha, Jesus' first interaction with Mary and Martha. Now it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Martha was, no doubt, as we follow her in Scripture, she loved God, she loved Jesus. There's no mention of Lazarus here, but her brother Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead, they were friends, they were close, or they became close as Jesus ministered and came to their part of the country regularly, and they possibly followed him. But here we find Martha, I kind of refer to as Martha the hostess. Maybe her last name was Stewart. Now, it came to pass that, you know, they came to this village, and Martha, it says, Martha received him into her house. As is customary, and Jesus told the disciples, when you go into a village, begin to talk to people. Let people know who you are, what you're there for. And if someone receives you into their house, go and be with them, for the Lord has provided that. And as long as you stay there, stay in that one house. Don't jump from house to house, but go to that one house and let those people host you, let them provide for you for as long as you are in that city. And preach the gospel for as long as the Spirit leads. Well, Martha was that contact that Jesus made when they came into the city. She no doubt had heard of him, or she heard him as he taught and as he spoke to the people of that city. But she said, "Would you please come?" She extended this invitation. "Would you please, and everybody, would you please come to my house? And I will provide for you while you are here." So she's the one that opened graciously and abundantly her home, her property, to Jesus, to his disciples, to no doubt the crowds and the different ones that came to learn and hear hear the message of the gospel. But she also had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Mary, her sister, as this, if you want to interpret it, or if we expand these words a little bit, but she sat at Jesus' feet. It means literally she sat very near. It's a word that means like the Holy Spirit is our comforter, someone at our side. She was at his side, at his very feet, very close. Mary had drawn very close and wanted to hear his word. And she is totally enraptured, if you would, or captivated by what the things that Jesus was saying, what his word and his logic, if you would, his intent, his purpose, his message. And she was totally caught up in listening to Jesus. That there were crowds of people, other people around, that her sister Martha was busy, you know, providing for these people she invited into her house and all, and working very hard, totally was escaped Mary. She was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his words, his truth, his purpose. Well, Martha, after a time, she was cumbered about much serving. This word cumbered means it means to drag around. Like you kind of think of a ball and chain in a sense, but it's literally to be moving a burden around with you wherever you go. She was cumbered to mean to drag all around, or she was distracted. To distract with care. She was cumbered. She was distracted from the main event. To her, as we find out, the main event was that those that she invited into her home, that she cared for them, that she fed them, that she washed the dishes, she cooked the food, provided the food, made sure they had what they needed. This was the burden. This was what she was dragging all around. And did we ever read that she listened and sat and listened to Jesus? What she was doing was very good. It was expected. This is what was expected of a hostess. I think we've all hosted things. And sometimes we get so, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of work that goes into hosting something. But that's what filled Martha's heart and mind was this burden and this distraction that kept her from sitting at Jesus' feet. And then she says some things that are really quite amazing. Because of this distraction and this burden that she was dragging around, the next phrase states, and she came to Jesus. She came to him. Now here is, again, it's the perspective on it. Here is Emmanuel. God with us in flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin, delivering into this world the message of redemption, of salvation, of the love of God. He's the manifestation of the love of God. This once in all time and eternity, God incarnate in her house, speaking about the things that, speaking the words of the Father. These are all things you can glean from other portions of Scripture, but that's what Jesus did. He wasn't just chatting. He was teaching. He was relaying an eternal message. And Martha came to him and interrupted him. She said, excuse me just a minute, Jesus, I need to have a word with you. And then she says one of the most profound understatements, I think, in Scripture. Lord, dost thou not care? I mean, look at the burden. Look at all the work I'm doing. Look at I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm washing dishes, I'm serving, I'm making sure people's needs are met. And my sister is just doing nothing but sitting there. This is totally outside tradition, totally outside of what was expected of a hostess. And Mary being living there was also to be helping hosting. And she said, Lord, don't you care? The fact that he was sitting in her house, bringing the message of God's love and grace and redemption to Israel and to the world. This light that shines in darkness, whose birth was so triumphantly announced and celebrated, this light that burst out in the darkness of night to the shepherds in the field. This man, this individual was sitting in her house relaying the message from the Father of the kingdom of the eternity to come. And she said, Lord, don't you care? She really didn't get it, did she? She really didn't understand it. But she says, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me? Poor me. Poor me. She's left me to serve alone. She's left all this work on me, and if I wasn't doing it, it wouldn't get done. Look at what I am doing. Look at this great burden that I have that I've taken on. Don't you care that she's not helping me? The creator of heaven and earth in the embodiment of human flesh, sitting there in her house, if she had known who he was, everybody might have been a little hungry. But she would have been more blessed. She would have been eternally blessed. But Lord, don't you care that my sister is just sitting there doing nothing? Left me to do all this work by myself? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Lord, command her that she leave you and this message from our Heavenly Father. Bid her to go away from the very reason you came into this world. Bid her to turn her back on listening and learning and taking in this joyous message, and help me wash dishes and cook food. We all have things that we do in this world. We all have things that we spend our time doing. But it is the intent of the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is the intent that above all things, that there is a preeminent love, as Jesus spoke to John regarding the church at Ephesus. They've left their preeminent love. When push comes to shove, I thank God and I pray God that I always turn and return to that which is most important. You know, there's work to do. You know, when people come to church, you kind of want and expect the sidewalks to be scooped. You want the yard to be mowed. You'd like to have it nice and green and thick and beautiful looking. You'd like to have the building painted. You'd like to have maybe remodeled and redecorated and have all sorts of services. Maybe you'd like to have a coffee bar in the lobby. All manner of things that people like. But that all takes time. That all takes energy. And it's not always the most important. We have things that we have to do, work that we have to do. We have earn money, but not always. The Lord provides. In every circumstance of our lives, there's things that we give our time to that are okay. It was one. Martha was probably a wonderful hostess. I never thought about referring to her as Martha Stewart, but that just came to mind. She was doing her best to provide for all these people. That's a good thing. She was, again, doing all these preparations, doing lots of good things. We can keep our lives, we can in our lives be very busy doing lots of good things. This word serving, I've just implied it, but it means that she's giving attendance as a servant, an aid, and providing a service. And in 25 times in Scripture, this word serving is translated as ministry or things related to ministry. She was providing a ministry to these people. Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that a godly thing? Isn't that a valuable thing? Yeah, absolutely. And she was doubled down on it. And people were taking part of this. There were other people that were eating. They were taking time to eat and to do this and that and enjoy her service and partake of her ministry. So it's not like she didn't have any customers. They weren't all like Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. Normally Jesus didn't call a formal meeting and, tap on a tree or a rock or something like that and say, okay, can I have everybody's attention? We're going to start my message now. Jesus would just go and sit and start to talk. and people would gather to listen. So everybody there, there might have been lots of people there that believed in Jesus, had followed Jesus. Doesn't mention any of the disciples being there or anything specific about them in this at this time. Maybe they were talking to other people and relaying things regarding their walk and their lives with Jesus. But she was providing all this ministry, but that's what she was focused on. She was doing good, but it was not the best thing. And in not being the best thing, she was missing out completely. She simply did not comprehend the person of Jesus. We can be busy doing lots of things, but when we hear Jesus speaking, it's a good time to drop everything and anything and sit at his feet. So Jesus said to her, answered her request, and said unto her, Martha, Martha. That sort of, kind of that head shaking, you know, Martha, you just don't get it, do you? I feel sorry for you. Martha, please listen. Thou art careful. The word careful here means to be anxious. You're taking thought, and you're when I say careful, it doesn't mean she's being cautious. It means she was filled with care. She was having care was foremost on her mind. Her heart and mind was filled with providing care and ministry to those people in her house. You are careful and troubled. Troubled. This word troubled, I forgot to mention, like the word cumbered, she was cumbered about. That's only used one time in all of Scripture. Anytime you run into Scripture and you're using a concordance and you're looking into the meaning of these words, and you come across words that are only used one time, that's always a flashing light to me that here's something very special. So she was, in being cumbered, she was dragging around and she was distracted with care. Sometimes we can be distracted by care and miss out on providing for others and miss out on the best things for them and for us. This word, again, troubled, is used only one time in Scripture. It means to make turbid. Like you take a stick and you stir up some water in a creek or in a puddle of water or a pond or whatever. And it makes the water all muddy and you stir things are all stirred up. So it means to make turbid or disturbed. It comes from a Latin word, turba, which means a crowd. So she was caught up in the crowd and all the activity and things moving around and all, again, disturbed and all the activity going on, and it clouded the waters and made it hard, and if not impossible, to see what was really going on. She was troubled in her heart, in her spirit, about many things. He said, but one single thing is needful. This word needful, it means employment or an employment situation. And when one thing that's that you're really supposed to be employed and in involved in, or it's an occasion of demand or requirement. In other words, you fall overboard in the ship, there's just some very specific things that are of greatest demand and requirement, and that is that you don't drown. and everything else is secondary. One thing is needful. One thing is a necessary use, a necessary thing. There is only one thing that is absolutely necessary in our lives, in any of our lives, at any time, in any situation. There is one thing that is needful. And Mary has chosen. This implies here that Jesus knows Mary's heart. And it's demonstrated in her actions and what she was yielding to. I have no doubt that Mary had some concerns about her obligation as a hostess, her obligation to help her sister. She knew what was expected of her. She knew what the society expected. She knew what the circumstances called for. But Mary saw in there that there was a choice. She had heard the words of Jesus. She had heard his doctrine. She had heard of what the message he was relaying. And she made a choice. She hath chosen that good part, that good portion. Which shall not be taken away from her. This word taken away, or words, it means it would not be separated from her. It will not be removed from her. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. There's three words in this passage of Scripture that are used only one time. And the other was that Mary sat near. Only one time in Scripture is it mentioned or used to sit near at Jesus' feet. Says Martha, only one thing is needful. And what Mary has chosen and selected, and the decision that she has made, is to neglect at maybe, you know, the cost of tradition and the cost of accusation and just exactly like Martha was doing, of ridicule. I mean, Mary was going way out of traditional and normal bounds here. She was violating the culture. She was violating her societal expectations. She was violating the rules of being a hostess and having an event like that. But she made a choice to sit near Jesus at his very feet. So she didn't miss a word. So she could hear. I imagine there's a lot of noise. A lot of people moving around. Lots of distractions. And Mary was demonstrating that she did not. This was important to her. And she did not want to be distracted or moved away or pulled away from this. This word taken away, Jesus said, which shall not be taken away from her. This is the same, it's also translated as word remove. It's the same word, it's used multiple times in different ways, but it's the same word used when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldiers of the scribes and the Pharisees came to take him. And Peter pulled out a sword and he cut off the ear of one of the servants, the soldiers. He took it away. Took a knife out and whacked it off. And Jesus said, you know, Martha, that's what she has chosen. I'm not going to take that away from her. Nobody should take it away from her. And just in sense as Jesus reached down and picked up that man's ear and reattached it to his head, so there's no evidence that anything had happened. Jesus was restoring and making sure that Mary was not going to be moved from her place at his feet. Now, Martha was right there at Jesus' side. Mary was right there at his feet. Martha was probably pointing at or motioning toward Mary. Said, Jesus, tell her, command her. Don't you care that she's just sitting right here and doing nothing when I'm so busy, I've got all this work to do? And Jesus turned to Martha and said, no, I'm not going to take this away from her. She has chosen to be here. And so an important thing in our lives is the focus of what our lives are about. Martha's focus was upon her ministering to others. It wasn't a bad thing, but it was not the best thing. It wasn't an inappropriate thing. It was very appropriate, very expected. But her focus was not on the best thing. Mary's focus was upon the words that Jesus was speaking, the topics, his motives, his reasoning, and his stated thoughts. Wouldn't you love, and yes, we can still, but to have been there and listened to what Jesus had to say. I'd like to think that there is nothing in heaven and earth that could move me away from that spot. Many people were being ministered to by Martha. Many people were being served. And Martha was working hard. And it appeared she was doing a lot of things that were very important. But Mary was hearing and listening to Emmanuel and the message and the words of his father that his father gave him to teach in this world. There was a very brief time that this was possible. Sometimes there are things that are important to us, that are important to the world, there are important expectations that the world puts on us. But we have a decision to make. What's most important for me? What's most important to Jesus? It's an important lesson for us to learn that when Jesus asks for your ear in hearing, not to remove it from your head, but when he asks for your ear, that you just take some time and listen. That you do that and don't give him your service. Don't show him your calendar and your schedule. Don't show him all the work you have to do in the yard or in your job or in your house or your whatever other employment. We gather here to worship our God. But this is not the only place that we worship our God. We worship our God in our decisions, in our schedules, in our events of our lives. And they might be good things. They might be beneficial things to other people. It's of no surprise that many people, many Christians, confuse serving other people, ministering to other people, as being a very important thing and a focus of their lives and of their hearts, because it is so needful. There are many important things that go on. There's many things that we all do along those lines. But when Jesus is speaking, there is no more important thing for us to do than to go sit at his feet as close as we can, focusing on him, not on all the distractions and the turbidity around us, and just sit alone or with others that gather and hear the things that he has to say. Quickly, there are two verses in 1 Corinthians. They're virtually identical. First one, I'm going to take it in reverse order here. 1 Corinthians 10:23, where Paul states, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient." And that means they don't move me forward. They don't benefit me equally. "All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." They don't build me up spiritually. It's lawful for me. It's allowed. What Martha was doing was allowed, was lawful. She was doing nothing wrong. But it was not really expedient for her spiritual growth, and it was not edifying. She was dragging this burden around, and she wasn't being built up in the message and the words of Christ. And then back to 1 Corinthians 6, in verse 12, again Paul says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." I will not allow even lawful good things to keep me, Paul is saying, from doing what is best. In a sense, that's the choice that Mary had made. I could get up and help my sister. She, no doubt, saw her and knew what was going on. But you know, I'm not going to be brought under the power of this influence put on me by my sister, the demands of the occasion and the crowds, the busyness of my life, the busyness of my day, the things that need to be done. My word, I have a list of things that need done that does not have an end, and the things I will never get done. I will get to them as much as I can when I can. But when Jesus is speaking, when the Spirit is speaking, what we must know, and like Martha, what we must learn, what we might be doing might be allowed, might be lawful, might be good, might be beneficial, but those things are not our first and uttermost or most important responsibility. Our responsibility is to listen to the Spirit, listen to Jesus, when he is speaking. When it's time to listen, it is not time to be distracted. We must learn to put aside distractions and put aside wants and wishes and put aside the demands of culture and society and whatever other demands there might be and sit at his feet and listen. And listen. Because the work in this world will never get done. The things in this world will never, like a fire, will never say, okay, we've had enough, we're ready to stop burning now, we're ready to give up. It'll never happen. But what will go away is the opportunity to hear the word of God when he is teaching. When he beckons us in the spirit to listen, to come aside and partake of his teaching, his word. When he's saying, I am here, I'm speaking, join me. There's nothing in time and eternity more important than that. It's a very small thing, it's a very quiet thing. But that's what our lives are about, the choices that we make. Will we serve or will we listen? There's a time to serve. But the time of listening takes preeminence when it's Jesus that's speaking. I pray that we more and more learn to take time to listen to Jesus when he's speaking. And leave behind the hubbub and the concerns and the worries of this world. They just don't matter. It's okay if people are hungry for a little bit. It's okay if they're inconvenienced a little bit. It's more important that we hear what Jesus has to say. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, that by the presence and the witness of the Spirit, Lord, we know when you're speaking. We know when you are leading. We understand when you are calling us to come apart to things more important than other things in this world, other ministries, other work that we could be doing. Father, we thank you that by your Spirit you lead us and guide us, that we might learn and understand, and my, how that makes life in this world so much easier and the work be much more productive. Father, we just thank you for this time of worship, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, turn number 607, and sing the first verse, 607 and verse 1. Okay. Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Close to him. The closer, the better. Amen. May God bless you. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please give yourself to that. Amen.